All right. Hey, Frisco, your favorite T-Mobile whistleblower is back. And before I begin, let me be crystal clear. I do not have a problem with Indian people or any other race. I have a problem with elected officials in America not serving their oath to the United States Constitution. The Constitution is just a worthless piece of paper if the people who take an oath to it don't protect it. Frisco is getting a lot of attention online right now for H-1B visas because Frisco looks more like India than Texas. And a lot of Americans are tired of their government helping foreigners more than Americans. Every one of these Fortune 100 companies hiring foreigners on H-1B visas are laying off Americans while the C-level executives are making millions and dumping stocks. Americans graduating college can't find jobs, they can't afford to buy a home, and the rate of married 30-year-olds owning a home has hit an all-time low. 50% from 50% in 1950 to 22% in 2010 to less than 10% in 2025. This is exactly what a collapsing country looks like, and it's because of a corrupted system and government that's sold out to corporations owned by foreign interests. Let's talk about some stats. The Indian population in Frisco alone has surged 4,510% over the last 20 years, from 2.5% to one-third of the city. Now let's talk about a few of the big companies in Frisco with H-1B. IBM, they have 3,254 H-1B employees. They laid off an estimate of 25,000 Americans since 2024, and the CEO has shared plans of replacing 7,800 roles with artificial intelligence by 2030. Oracle has 834 H-1B employees. They've laid off an estimate of 20,000 Americans. And Oracle's CEO just sold over $1.8 billion in stock in June alone. And you know my favorite company, T-Mobile, has 472 H-1B employees. They've laid off at minimum 25,000 Americans in the past few years. T-Mobile insiders dumped $5.4 billion in stock in 2024 alone. And my favorite CEO, T-Mobile CEO Mike Sievert, has sold over $144 million in stock just over the last 3 years. And let me remind everyone of the mayor's donations. In 2021, 10% of donations above $1,000 were from people with Indian last names. In 2023, 55% of donations above $1,000 were from people with Indian last names. Texas and America is absolutely cooked well done, and my story over the last 2 years proves it. Texas is proving it's been California with our new political theater of Democrats fleeing the state and Greg Abbott and Ken Paxton issuing warrants. Texas has just turned into an absolute joke. Trump is withholding FEMA funds from states and cities if they don't support Israel. His golf scores are sounding like North Korea propaganda, and he's creating a digital ecosystem for our health information with big tech and AI companies that hate humanity. House Democrats are digging into a quid pro quo between T-Mobile and Trump over Trump Mobile. And let's not forget about Frisco City Council working with the PGA to violate my First Amendment right by colluding with them to trespass me. And I'm the only person here that they purposely turned the camera to my back and refused to show my face. For those of you that vote in this rigged system, I want to remind you that you vote for people who take an oath to the Constitution. My First Amendment right and my Second Amendment right are being stomped on by a corrupted government. You all should be caring and supporting me. I know I sound crazy, but that's because I choose to tell the truth in a world full of lies. My name is Mark Palaciano, M-A-R-C, P-A-L-A-S-C-I-A-N-O. Find me on YouTube, Substack, Instagram, or X. And the reason why I have to spell that is because you have to type in my full name exactly how I spell it to find me because of my severe shadow banning and censorship. You guys have a good night. See you next time.
Absolutely incredible stuff. Mark Palaciano will be my guest this hour. If you notice the date on that video, that was exactly 1 year ago today. So for a long time, he's been fighting this fight. Of course, we are a year deeper into the hole at this point because, of course, they have not stopped digging. We're going to talk to him about these incredible stats he laid out. As we were watching the video before the show, the crew piped in my ear and were just like, I almost threw up from that. I mean, the stats are so abysmal. And that was a year ago. It's only gotten worse. We'll be back on the other side with more. Stay with us, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigly has launched an online pharmacy 1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show, alexjoneslive.com. Of course, follow us on X at AJ and Live, at Real Alex Jones. I'm at Harrison H. Smith, sitting in for Alex today. Very happy to be welcoming my guest, Mark Palaciano. I just misplaced his, I'm making sure I'm pronouncing that right, Palaciano. He's a lifelong Texan turned T-Mobile whistleblower, investigative journalist. He's known for roasting Frisco City Council. He's been exposing T-Mobile after working there 17 years, and he's turned his sights to Frisco City Council, where he's exposed the Indian takeover being fueled by H-1B visas. He's a big reason why Frisco City Council decided to turn off public comments on non-agenda items, because you can't have the people expressing themselves, God forbid. Follow him on X at Mark Palaciano. As he said in the video, if you saw it in the last segment, you have to spell his full name out. They do not want you being able to search this guy easily, at MARC_PALACIANO. Mark Palaciano, thank you so much for coming to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, man. This is a huge life moment. I'm almost going to shed tears after watching my own video exactly 1 year ago, you know, exposing the crazy H-1B takeover, how corporations are really destroying America from within. And not to change the topic either, but 1 week after that, I was put in jail in Collin County for harassment, which was really the state of Texas said I weaponized the First Amendment and free speech, all because I hurt the feelings of a T-Mobile executive.
Okay, that's crazy. I had no idea about that. Explain that to us. So give us your story. You're a T-Mobile whistleblower. What does that mean? What were you blowing the whistle on? When did that happen?
Yeah, no, thank you. So I, you know, worked for T-Mobile for 17 years. I requested to be laid off because my goal was to go be an investigative journalist, be an independent journalist, just like yourself, right? Talking about things you can't find on mainstream news. So my plan was to kick off by exposing, being a whistleblower, exposing T-Mobile to launch my platform. But I underestimated how important my story was, because exposing T-Mobile caused me severe shadow banning and censorship. T-Mobile is the World Economic Forum's telecommunications company. They created the vaccine passports for the World Health Organization, and they also created the digital ID that's being used in the European Union. T-Mobile USA is owned by Deutsche Telekom, which is T-Mobile Germany, right? They're 30% owned by the German government. They have all the technology to enslave humanity in the fourth industrial revolution and the World Economic Forum's Great Reset. Social credit scores, central bank digital currencies, like I said, vaccine passports, digital IDs. So I exposed all that. Not only that, but I shared my firsthand experience of exposing T-Mobile's diversity, equity, inclusion, and environmental social governance here in the United States. So, for example, T-Mobile still today provides unlimited money for transgender surgeries while they limit money for other benefits. So if you're a mom and you have four kids, all four of your kids get unlimited money for genital surgeries. They'll help you. They'll tattoo nipples for you. They'll do chin stuff, all of it, right? You have unlimited money to be able to do that. I expose how they have 10 diversity, equity, inclusion groups that are really designed to discriminate against white Christian males. And now T-Mobile, you know, as a deal with the Trump administration last year, they got rid of their DEI practices on paper. Let's be real. There's still alive and well inside of the organization. But I can go on and on about this stuff. I've been speaking up for 3 years. This is a huge accomplishment for me to be seeing myself with Alex Jones live talking to Harrison Smith. So I'll shut up now and let you respond to some of the crazy stuff I just told you about.
This is so much deeper than I even thought it was. I know you from your videos and you do a great job, sticking it to the Frisco City Council. I had no idea about all this in the background. Although I had a bit of a suspicion, because in that video, when you're like, basically we're being sold out so these international corporations can buy, it's like, okay, this guy gets it. It's not, you're not operating at this lower level. You understand that, okay, it's not just like Muslims wanting to take over America. It's these big companies that rely on their lower wages. And so they're getting kickbacks to the, I mean, it's not that complicated, but it's a little bit more complicated than just I'm angry because I, don't like these people. No, this is a sophisticated operation selling out the American people. So I knew you were a little bit more on our side than not, but that is way deeper than I expected. So you blow the whistle on T-Mobile. You're exposing all of this stuff that they're doing that their customers, such as myself, probably wouldn't like that much. How does that lead to you getting arrested a week after the video that we just watched?
Yeah, I went to jail a week after the video. So I have been severely shadow banned and censored online, which I've exposed on Substack. I was watching myself to be deleted by Google, right? I'd search me and all of a sudden I wouldn't show up. I believe X tested a lot of their new censorship tools on me. And so when I got censored and shadow banned, I started texting T-Mobile executives. I worked very closely with the guy that is now the T-Mobile COO, the second guy in charge at T-Mobile. I knew him. I knew his right-hand partner. And so I was pissed off and I was texting him like, hey, I know T-Mobile is working with big tech to censor and shadow ban me. My TikTok was deleted. People can barely find me online. My impressions got crushed. Like, I know it's happening, right? But you can't prove it. And so anyway, I start texting the executive. I'm not getting anywhere with that. So my next step is I went to his neighborhood in Prosper, Texas and passed out flyers. Now he lives in a gated community, not with a security guard or anything, just like an apartment complex, right? So I drove him by in a car and I walked to every single house and put a flyer on the doorstep that shared a little bit about my story and had links to six of my other stories I've exposed about T-Mobile, which is a lot of the crazy stuff I just explained to you before this, right? He filed harassment charges on me. I turned myself into the Collin County Jail. This was October 2024. And we didn't go to trial until August 2025. Hmm. What's crazy about my trial, and so during that time, I went and stood in front of the Collin County Courthouse and held up a sign saying the DA framed me with T-Mobile. I was doing all sorts of crazy stuff, because I really kind of trusted that the jurors would be on my side and see what I'm doing, right? But I learned that most of society is brainwashed these days. It's a perfect example, like, Shiloh being found guilty of free speech. You got Chud. You have a lot of examples in America where people are being prosecuted for their First Amendment right because the people that are sitting in the jury box are freaking brainwashed NPCs that don't understand our own laws. But anyway, sorry, soapbox there.
it's an important background to understand. And again, it's like if you could just get your message out there, it's like God bless you for resorting to handing out flyers. But like, why is that even necessary in today's day and age? Because the local media doesn't want to pick this up. The big tech is going to crush it. I mean, that's just going to happen. And so, of course, you have what inspired your turn towards, because I've seen you mainly focus on this, the takeover of places like Frisco. I doubt it's a coincidence that you were, arrested and thrown into jail for whatever excuse they had just 1 week after you gave that great speech. What made you turn your focus towards that? And were you noticing that while you were still at T-Mobile, that were they using H-1B visas to lay off Americans there?
That's a great question. So the reason why I speak at Frisco is because the big T-Mobile office I worked at is in Frisco, right? I would call it their number two headquarters in the United States. They're actually based out of Bellevue. I think they're going to end up moving to Texas as their main headquarters soon enough. But so I went to city council because, I expect people that take oaths to the Constitution to actually care about what I'm exposing, right? I mean, T-Mobile even censored text messages during COVID. There is so much tyranny that I have exposed that I believe people should help me. So At T-Mobile, I did, when I was working there, I totally recognized a lot of Indians working in engineering. I had no idea what H-1B it was at the time, right? But I definitely witnessed that firsthand while working there. And then I went to Frisco, started speaking up. When they started ignoring me and disrespecting me by turning the camera to my back, that's when I started digging into the mayor. That's when I dug into the donations, right? I was already talking about H-1B visas, and it just kind of, I just kept building upon it. And, you know, I went to jail. I was in jail from August 11th to November 23rd. I got out 2 days before Thanksgiving. Yeah, I was actually sentenced to 6 months in jail, but I got out early in Collin County because I worked in the kitchen, which got me 2 for 1. And my case was a misdemeanor. I did more jail time on a misdemeanor than some people do on felony drug charges in Texas, which is crazy. But so
for
I got out,
for handing out for handing out flyers.
Well, if I wouldn't have texted, the problem was, is I also text these guys, right? But he never asked me to stop. Another crazy thing about my case is Texas actually rewrote my charge. So in the charge said that I kept texting him after he told me to stop, which was a lie. He never told me to stop. I was kind of waiting for him to tell me to stop, right? I kind of thought he blocked me, wasn't listening to me. It was only about, I'd call it 30 or 40 messages over 2 months. And so we were supposed to go to trial in May, and the state requested to rewrite the charge. And then what they did after that is they filed warrants for all of my social media accounts, and they used my tweets against me, because instead of the 30 or 40 text messages, they said I sent over 150 electronic communications as harassment, which those were my
because
tweets.
You were tweeting about him. Okay.
Because I was tweeting.
Wow. All right. Yeah, that's very sinister, kind of. And what did you say? They said you weaponized the First Amendment. Is that a quote?
Yep. That is a direct quote from the prosecution team. I weaponized the First Amendment. I weaponized free speech. I watched the prosecution in Collin County lie. I would bet that my Collin County misdemeanor case was the most expensive misdemeanor trial Collin County has ever tried. The whole room, you know, on my side, I had my wife and her family, and that's it. On the other side, they had the whole misdemeanor prosecution team back there helping, sending text messages to the prosecutor. And, you know, I watched the, you know, the T-Mobile executive lie under oath about some things. And, you know, it was crazy because I also, one thing exposed how T-Mobile discriminated against me during COVID with the vaccine mandate. I was on team. I wasn't just your low-level employee at T-Mobile. I actually worked my way up into a senior management position, and I was leading the response for COVID. That's what helped me get educated on all the stuff that I exposed. That's what really woke me up. Like, a lot of Americans woke up in 2020, right? A lot of you guys were kind of awake before us, but a lot of us didn't snap into it until that happened.
Yeah, and we were up cooking breakfast, waiting for everybody else to make their way upstairs. Yeah.
And so, you know, I exposed how they discriminated against me based on my vaccine status, which is actually a violation of Texas Health and Safety Code, Chapter 81D. It was crazy to watch the prosecution turn that around on me, like make me look for the bad guy, make me look as the bad guy for standing up for what was right.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of wrinkles. You make some pretty powerful enemies, my friend. That's absolutely wild. And, you know, the point you made during the speech we played in the first 5 minutes and that you sort of referenced just now, the amount of money, the looking into, you know, who's giving money to these people. Are they making choices on the basis of who's donating to their political campaigns? I've made the point that, like, this is, I think, one of the key things that people are maybe missing. When an Indian person wants to buy a gas station, own a gas station in America, there's something like $200,000 worth of grants that they can receive from the government that are not offered to a white, indigenous, you know, native born American person. That's $200,000 that they can either like put into more inventory to make more money, or maybe they could hire more people, or that's $200,000 that they can donate to the political structure to get their people elected. So, you know, all of these benefits that go to these minority groups, they are really just like one step away from political power, because giving these people money and then allowing them to spend it back on the government to get them more money, I mean, it's a feedback loop that they're creating here. So I think that's a very important point about this invasion that people are overlooking. The more, you know, money and wealth these groups get, the more political power they get. It's a feedback loop, a snowball rolling down the hill. Can you talk a little bit more about that, how you identified and, you know, what you think is actually happening with these donations?
Yeah, the donations, on top of that, the corporations are helping them. Look how, if you have an H-1B visa, you can go get a great credit rate on a car and buy a car for what you and I can get it for, right? Back in the day in like 2009, when I worked at T-Mobile in the stores selling phones, you know, H-1B visas from Infosys could walk in and get a free phone on a two-year contract. I was 25 years old at the time working there, and I couldn't even get a free phone on a two-year contract, right? But the donations, you can see, as I'd stated in that video, how the influx has gone from like 10% of donations above $1,000 were from Indians to 55%. And that was for the old mayor, Frisco Mayor Jeff Chaney. The new one, Mark Hill, who just got elected in last year. I mean, you should see how many donations from foreigners, whether it's Indians or Muslims, are going to him. I've exposed three of them. I went to their, they run H-1B companies. I went to their offices and visited them, and nobody's there. And so not only are the foreigners figuring out how to donate and buy our politicians to get what they want, whether it's developing real estate, but also the fact that there's companies or the Indians that I believe should be investigated for H-1B fraud are donating money to the new Frisco mayor. And then he's even paying one of them to do advertising. And he's thanked them in his video where, he, you know, they have their big party where they celebrate. He got the new mayor seat. And he's thanking one of the Indians that I've exposed that I think should be investigated for H-1B fraud.
And the H-1B fraud, it's just, it's the fraud on top of the fraud, right? I mean, I think H-1B visas shouldn't exist at all. But it's like, okay, here's this thing that exists. Maybe it can be used in extraordinary circumstances. If there's some aerospace company that has been trying for a year and it just can't find anybody qualified, but there's this great candidate in China, okay, maybe we can make a deal. It's like supposed to be for these specific cases, and the companies are supposed to fulfill all these obligations. Even with that, I'm not exactly for it. But then on top of that, on top of selling out our jobs to foreigners, the fraud is rampant. And again, people are generally becoming more aware of this, but have no idea about like the body shops that Indians run, where it's literally just, it's a mill. They just bring people in, take a cut of their earnings, you know, say that they're qualified when they're not. What is it going to take for Americans to understand they're being scammed? Because that is like the biggest hurdle right now to me, is people sort of see what's going on. They see that, like, okay, wages aren't rising as much as they should. Yet they can't take that extra leap to go, this is because we're being screwed over and scammed, and we need to stop these people from coming over and taking our stuff. What is it going to take for Americans to wake up to the reality of this situation?
That's why I continue to speak up and, you know, fight for sharing my story and exposing the crazy stuff I talk about. That's, and what's with H-1B, it's actually, it's a little complex. So I think some people don't really understand it. The corporations that are using H-1B, they're not breaking any laws. The government gave them this tool to, you know, like you stated, if it's used in some very rare circumstance, but it really shouldn't even be available. It's almost disrespectful to tell Americans like, hey, you're too stupid to do these jobs. So we got to go to India and China to find. I'm sure we got kids in high school that can do better coding than these H-1B Indians. Right. And so but it's the corporations, they're using it within their legal rights. The other piece of it is these Indians that are creating their body shops and they, these consulting firms, and they have, you know, when I go look at their employment, when I go look at the H-1Bs, their labor condition application, which is the filing with the government, I can see the ones where they work for T-Mobile or Verizon or these corporations. But then there's some that are working directly for the Indians person's company. Those are the ones that are questionable. One led me to a house in McKinney where there was three labor condition applications registered this house, and I went and knocked on the door. That Indian that I was digging into is actually also the guy who is funding one of the new Hindu temples in Frisco, Texas. Because that's another thing I've exposed here in the back in May. I exposed how on the Frisco City Council agenda, they were voting on two new Indian temples and one new mosque all in one night. You probably saw videos from that May 19th where it went viral. There were so many people there. But I exposed who's behind both of those, the Jain temple and the Hindu temple. And both of these people are tied to nonprofits, and they're running companies that have questionable H-1B activity.
So really, I mean, again, when you think about this as a assembly line almost, right? It's like people come in, they file for H-1B visas. Every single H-1B visa recipient brings in an average of 15 family members, by the way. Those were some of the numbers that we've heard of, recently involving this type of stuff. They get, bonuses from the government. They get grants from the government to start their business and hire people. They're, put on welfare. They're not having to pay for groceries like Americans are. It's extra money in their pocket that they can give to politicians who will bring over more of them. And then they can contribute to their ethnic groups, which will build temples for them, which will, inspire more people to come. I mean, what they're doing is smart. From their perspective, it's like we have just opened ourselves to be taken over and they're taking us over. And it's, obviously a very well, orchestrated, well-oiled machine they're running. It just has no benefit whatsoever for the American people. And this to me is the most frustrating part. And I think we just have time to go, well, at least go to the beginning of this video. This is also in McKinney. So McKinney, Texas, Frisco, Texas sort of seem to be the hotspots of this. But this is a Muslim supporting the construction of a proposed Islamic center. And just last night, there was a lot of very contentious hearing in McKinney about this Muslim center, and we can show you more clips from it. But this one I think is interesting. It's a Muslim man supporting the building of this Islamic center and mosque. And we'll just play the first few seconds because of how he starts his speech. Let's go to clip number 33 now. Guys, clip 33. You know what? Our numbers are all
just
messed
a few
up.
Years ago.
We must have messed up. There it is. Let's watch this.
With this mosque.
So everyone's booing. So he starts out the speech there going, we're going to change the Constitution. And everybody boos. And this to me is emblematic of just like, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to spend our time, go out on a weeknight, go to this to say, hey, we don't want our Constitution changed. We don't want our fundamental morals of our country changed by hostile foreigners who disagree. It's like, why is this a burden that the American people have to constantly be on guard against our own government selling us out to foreigners? It's outrageous, honestly.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with fueling the culture wars, right? Like you said it earlier, a lot of people are just want to fight with the Muslims or fight with the Hindus, but ultimately it's our government that's captured. Our government is the one, they're the ones allowing it to happen. Those are the people that take oaths to constitutions. Those are the people that are supposed to be helping us. Now, like with the mosque stuff, what's crazy though is Texas state and federal law protects these Muslims from building as many mosques as they want to. And that's what a lot of people don't really understand is like the city council, yeah, they're bought and paid for. They're sold out, but they can't vote no, because if they do, they're going to be sued and they're going to lose. And so it's time for our federal government and our state leaders to step up and do something different. And that's just, I can't even get these guys to call me back. I've reached out to every, I've shared a lot of stuff where I can tell you're like, holy smokes, this guy's got a crazy story. He's exposed a lot of stuff. I can't even get help from the government. I've reached out to every person that should care, and they don't even respond to me or take the time to talk to me.
I'm not exactly surprised, obviously hugely disappointed, but yeah, no, you're exactly right. And again, just to picture it, just at the fundamentals, like what's actually happening here is you've got a group of people who are like, hey, we're going to empanel a government. They're going to protect us. They empanel this government. They give them authority. And then they turn around and that person is just selling out their birthright to strangers. And it's just like, then why do we even have this government? The whole role is to protect us from them. Now, suddenly they feel like they have to give them an equal treatment. Why? This is ridiculous. We'll get into it on the other side, but this is exhausting. We need a government that just doesn't attack us and try to destroy us constantly. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be amazing? A government that serves us, the people? What a thought.
I don't have to sell you on bovine colostrum. Almost everybody knows for decades and decades, doctors recommend it to patients. It's been all the rage. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that come from a cow or any other mammal. It's not normal milk. It's not white. It's clear. It's full of all these peptides and amino acids and growth factors and things that literally accelerate tissue repair and so much more. But the issue is our bovine colostrum is a private label of the top rated brand in the country. They let us put our label on it and we sell it for a little bit less than it's sold in stores. And then you're funding our operation. It's a total 360 win. But here's where I dropped the ball. I've been promoting this bovine colostrum for almost a year since our sponsor, Big Lee, came out with it. And I just basically talk about, hey, it's great for your hair, great for your skin, you know, great for all of that. But that's just what you see on the surface. Yeah, your fingernails are thicker. They grow quicker. Women, you know, since the 60s have been taking it. But if it's doing that to the outside, what is it doing to the inside? So I wanted to just read some of the things that's in bovine colostrum and explain to you how ours is 4 times stronger than the average stuff on the market and at least twice as strong as leading competitors. It's cold pressed. It's never been homogenized either or boiled or heated up to 250 degrees. So it keeps the cofactors alive. It's super concentrated. One little scoop from the powder is your daily intake, and it's amazing. But now our sponsors come out with these great naturally flavored grape gummies that has a full day concentrated allowance in each gummy. So let me now read to you just some of the ingredients and what it does. The vast majority of colostrum products, again, are flavorless, but the key is they are only 10 to 20% IgG. Ours is 40% IgG. That's double to quadruple the potency of the competitors. And it's in a delicious, all-natural, grape-flavored gummy. So it habituates it. People love it and want to keep taking it. Immune Health IgG and Lactoferrin Defense. IgG immunoglobulins are the body's primary antibody defense. Colostrum's natural lactoferrin is a potent antimicrobial protein that binds iron and inhibits pathogen growth. Together, they prime and strengthen the immune system year-round, starting with the gut, and it's good for all the rest of the body and the organs. Gut support integrity. Colostrum contains growth factors IGF-1 and EGF. These help repair and maintain the gut lining. This makes it especially valuable for anyone dealing with leaky gut, digestive discomfort, or looking to optimize nutrient absorption. It's great for young people, but really essential for old folks. Because as you get older, the gut absorbs less and less. The bioactive peptides and growth factors in colostrum support faster tissue repair and lean muscle recovery after exercise, making these gummies a smart addition to any active lifestyle or fitness routine. And again, this is a 40% concentration. You're not going to find that anywhere else. Each gummy is 600 milligram concentrate of the highest quality bovine colostrum. That's not some little petty dose. That is a big dose that will give you big results. And of course, the colostrum are from good old cows right here in the USA. Ladies and gentlemen, if you love the powder, you're going to love the gummies. It's an incredible product. What it does for you internally is even bigger than what it does for your hair, your nails, and your skin. So get the powder and get the grape gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air. Be healthier. Have a better life. A true 360 win. Thank you for your support. And the gummies are discounted for a limited time out of the gates. Again, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. Rex Jones will take over for me in the next hour. He's interviewing Brandon Weikert in the fourth hour of today's Alex Jones program, and then continuing to man the helm for the War Room today. Brandon Weikert, of course, very well-informed now, increasingly popular analyst in the case of the Iran war. He's been one of the only people to be right about everything the entire time. So stay tuned for that. I'm joined by Mark Palaciano, who is a man in the arena who took it upon himself to do what we implore all Americans with the talent and ability to do: become a whistleblower, become a journalist, get involved, get active, cause problems for the little petty tyrants in your city council that are selling out your birthright for pennies on the dollar. Incredible interview so far, and stuff about T-Mobile I had no idea about. You can follow Mark on X at Mark_Palaciano. And interestingly, Mark, we got a letter. This never happened. We received a letter during the break, no joke, from somebody watching the show. And I wanted to read it. She says, "Good morning. I just tuned into the show and heard Harrison interviewing a guest about T-Mobile and their H-1B visa practices. It really struck a nerve for me. She says, I worked in customer service for UNFI, one of the country's largest food distributors, from 2023 to 2025. My employment came to an end when the company laid off the entire customer service team, including representatives, supervisors, and managers, many of whom had been there for over 20 years. Employees in finance and IT were also affected. The company outsourced these roles to Wipro, a firm based in India. It's difficult to understand how companies can let go of experienced American workers and move those jobs overseas. For those of us directly impacted, it's not just a business decision. It's deeply personal and raises serious questions about workforce priorities and corporate responsibility. Someone needs to protect American workers, not shareholders' pockets. Love the show. So, I mean, we just received this, and obviously this person had hundreds of people with them feeling exactly the same way. I'm sure people that worked with you at T-Mobile saw their jobs go to India. I mean, this is such a regular occurrence now. It's treated as like normal. This is so abnormal in the course of human history. The idea that your government is just like aggressively selling off your jobs to everybody else in the world as fast as they possibly can. It's insane that we have to deal with this. And we do have to deal with it. I'll read you the titles, at least we don't go to the videos, of McKinney, Texas, North Carolina, everywhere around the country. Regular people are having to take time out of their lives to go argue with their own government to say, hey, please don't destroy my livelihood. Please don't build a data center in my backyard. Please don't put up flock cameras on my corner. Just please stop attacking us. It's exhausting having to do this all the time. How do we get to a point? Is it even possible, Mark, how we can get to a point where we just trust our government not to screw us over constantly? Because I feel like this is, even though, you know, resistance movements like the one you're helping to lead and contribute to, people standing up and fighting back, it can be effective, but not over the long term. We need to end the threat. You have any idea how we get there?
You know, over the past 3 years, man, I feel like I've documented a story that exposes how far corrupt and how far gone our system is. You know, yeah. I shouldn't be the only one out here talking about T-Mobile. Let me tell you some other crazy stuff. Like, they just got their new Indian-born CEO in November 2025. They're laying off Americans. Well, not only are they employing H-1Bs, they actually opened up, like the last screenshot, they opened up a new hub in Hyderabad, India, that services T-Mobile USA. Right. So now, and what's crazy is I heard from some T-Mobile people that they actually sent Americans over to India to go train these employees.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's gotten absolutely out of hand with the foreign takeover. And, you know, you kind of mentioned Flock. I'm not going to create a whole new rabbit hole, but T-Mobile has all the technology for 15-minute smart cities.
Right.
Think about 5G. Think about them connected with Starlink. And so anyway, I have to actually fight to have hope. Like I said, I've been censored. This is huge for me. Like every few weeks, I kind of get in this moment where like, man, I can't get anyone to see my videos on X. I can't grow on my YouTube. I'm trying all these things. I'm speaking up. Big tech can shut me up. But then someone like you comes and, you know, puts your hand out and gives me an opportunity to share my story. And it reinvigorates me to keep speaking up. But like you said, I mean, I don't know what else to do. I mean, you know, I stand outside of buildings with signs exposing stuff. And so
right.
I've tried everything.
Well, no, absolutely. And the thing is, we rely on people like you too, right? I mean, this is a mutually beneficial exchange here because, you know, we can't be looking into all this stuff all the time. We're trying to cover the war and the everything. So it's like, we need people like you. We need people on the ground. We need people reporting this stuff. And if we can serve as a hub to get your information out to more people, then that's what our purpose is at the end of the day. And I do encourage everybody to go follow Mark. You can follow him on X at Mark Palaciano, but you got to spell the whole thing because, just like with Alex Jones or myself, you have to type out the whole name. Even, I mean, when it comes to Alex Jones, you have to type out the whole name, then hit search, then scroll down to find him. I mean, these little manipulations, these little, you know, just make it a little bit harder for people to find. It has a big impact. Follow Mark at MARC_PALASCIANO and support and spread his work. Because again, the video that we showed, I said it, you know, in the first segment, I was watching that video before we went live and the crew could hear it from my computer. And after it was over, they chimed in and go, yeah, that almost made me throw up. I mean, the stats that you're delivering are so devastating that like people can't help but recognize that it's a problem. I mean, if even if they think, oh, you're just white supremacist, that blah, blah, blah. It's like you hear the rate at which American jobs are being sold out. How can you deny that this is an attack against the American people and the middle class in particular? Let me just read some of the. Well, let me get first your take on what's happening with deportations, because Mark Wayne Mullins is out there trying to, you know, put across the idea that they're really taking it seriously and deportations are on track. He says they're on track this year to deport more illegal immigrants by the end of this month than they did for all of last year, adding that over the last 7 days, they're averaging 4,200 deportations a day. That sounds like a lot. 4,200 deportations should sound like a lot, but you're talking about 1.5 million or so on average for the year, considering the fact that we brought in something like 20 to, I would say, 50 million in those 4 years. Somebody did the math. I think it was Andrew Barca did the math. And he's like, okay, so in 70 years, we'll have expelled just the people that came across from 2020, which, of course, is absurd because in 70 years, they'll all have great grandchildren by then. This is not fast enough. So obviously, Trump, who ran and got his start and his whole thing was being the deportation guy, he's not doing it. So again, it's like, what is it going to take? We can't even stop the flow, let alone reverse it at the rate that we need to. How are we going to do this? This is one of the things I do, Mark. I don't know if you watch the show. I ask my guests impossible questions like, how do we fix immigration? Go, sir. But seriously, I'm at my wit's end, too. I don't know who else we can vote for. If Donald Trump himself is incapable of this, what do we do here, Mark?
Yeah, you know, candidly, man, I've tuned it all out. I don't have any trust for the government. Like I showed you, when you're a whistleblower and then you get put in jail for your free speech, and I reached out to the whistleblower program, every elected official that should help me, no one cared. And so I don't have faith that they're going to deport all these illegals. And while they're, you know, celebrating how they're going to take 20 years or what, 70 years to deport the same amount of people that came over in the past few years, the floodgates are open for corporations and H-1B visas. Like you said, one H-1B visa can lead to 15 people coming over here. And so last election, I didn't vote. 2020 was actually the first and last time in my life that I voted. I watched the election be stolen with mail-in ballots, and I believe that's why COVID was here and so on and so forth. But then, you know, I saw everybody being real hyped up about Trump in 2024, but I've drawn a line in the sand with the vaccine, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the things that I speak up about with T-Mobile and how they discriminate against me based on my status. And until the government recognizes, like, that wasn't good, I just can't buy into it anymore, right? And so, unfortunately, I don't have faith in the government doing anything that they are saying they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely don't blame you. And that brings to mind the fact that Todd Blanche, there was an article, I don't know if I have it here, but it was like the Senate didn't want to pass Todd Blanche. And so Donald Trump was like, if you don't pass Todd Blanche, then I'll try to get the weaponization fund restarted. And it's like, why are the Republicans the ones that are stopping the weaponization fund? If you don't, like, there's $1.8 billion that's been set aside to pay people for the pain and suffering they were caused by the persecution of the Biden administration. January 6th, the people that were arrested. I think it should go to people like yourself who were fired for, the jab. I mean, these were all violations of your civil rights. And, you know, you have a class action lawsuit, you get a big settlement, you deserve some, you know, recompense for your pain and suffering. It's the Republicans that are stopping that. The Republicans are the ones saying, well, $1.8 billion, we don't want that to go to our people. No, we can't. Not in a million years would we allow this amount of money to go towards, you know, any of our people to benefit their lives. Meanwhile, I think they just signed $700 billion for more weaponry. So, I mean, this is the absurdity. We even in times where we do get some sort of response from the government, it's our side that steps in and stops it. It's beyond outrageous. And we got to do something because, like I said, we can't. This is unsustainable. Let me just go through a few of these. We can go to dot cam here. We won't go to these videos necessarily because they're very long. But McKinney, Texas, tensions high as the McKinney City Council meeting as supporters of the Islamic Center and opponents of the project clash. the McKinney City Council is set to consider approval of the Islamic Center and mosque. Again, if people don't want it in their neighborhood, why are they forced to accept this outside influence? It's absurd. Heroes rose in McKinney tonight, and Congressman Keith Self delivered the truth without flinching. So U.S. Senator, U.S. Congressman Keith Self looked at the mayor and city council dead in the eye and refused to soft-pedal reality. Self reminded them of 1,400 years of political Islam that cannot be wished away, bringing up things like child marriage, honor killings, saying, don't tell me it can't happen here because it's already happening in Texas, beating your wife, polygamy, all condoned under Sharia political Islam. Again, and then you've got the Muslim person going, yeah, we're here, we're going to change your constitution. Just like, why are we having to defend against this? What war did we lose? I'm sorry, Mark, did we lose a war that I'm not familiar with? Did we get conquered at some point? And we have to do this because we're at the point of a sword? Otherwise, why are our people having to constantly try to justify our own existence and try desperately to beg the government not to allow us to be replaced by people that aren't us? Again, this idea that we empanel the government, we empower them, we give them authority on the basis of the fact that we offload our protection to them, and that they turn around and go, yeah, but this Muslim guy from India wants to actually have your town, so I got to give him a fair shake. No, you don't. You are here to defend us and our way of life. Why do people think it's their job now to give an equal hearing to a bunch of hostile foreigners? I'm rambling, but it's just genuinely insane, dude. What do we do? I mean, why do we have to do this? Why do you think the city councils all around the country, everywhere you look, can't seem to recognize that this is an invasion, a takeover, a conquering? Why can't they understand that?
Yeah, no, you asked what war did we lose? And we're losing the war of the government versus the people, right? Mm-hmm. And our government is bought and paid for. Every single elected official, all they care about is making money. They don't care about the oath that they took to the Constitution. They don't care about people like me that are speaking up. I should be, I'm completely self-funded. I've been living on my savings for the past 3 years, right? My goal was to make money with independent journalism, but big tech has me by the digital balls, and they have made it extremely hard for me to succeed in that, right? And so, yeah. But if I started taking money from companies and donors, I probably wouldn't be saying the stuff that I'm saying. Right. And that's the reality of America, is a lot of not only are our politicians owned, but a lot of these journalists that we see that have big platforms, they're owned too. And they are purposely driving agendas that is really kind of dividing America more and making it hard for us to unite, because it needs to be the people versus the government at this point. And it's just really hard to do that when you have all of us being separated through these culture wars that are going on.
100%. 100%. Again, I just can't help but try to like put it in a different frame of just like, you know, we're supposed to be a family. This is like the father and the mother of the family just being like, yeah, but, you know, it's kind of unfair for me to benefit my own kids over these other random kids that hate my kids. And it's like, why would you think that that's a moral position? Why would you, as the authority, as the leadership of this country, why would you think that you have an obligation to give a fair hearing or actually give the benefit of the doubt and prefer people that aren't your constituents? It is a fundamental disconnect with what their actual role is. And it does all come, as simple as it seems, it does all come down to money. You have things like this. Utah Senator John Curtis proposes state-led migrant worker program. This is a supposed conservative, but he's introducing a bill on Monday that would create a voluntary state-sponsored visa program allowing state legislatures to expand their temporary migrant workforce. So I guess they want the government itself to be hiring state-level guest workers. Again, conservative. We've seen conservative. The governor of wherever it was, Idaho or Iowa or wherever, was giving an interview where, again, he's like, they literally bases on, well, GDP. Hey, we want line go up. I guess we got to sell out our constituents' birthrights. And it's like, they are the ones we don't even have to say, hey, they're doing this for money. They think that's a valid reason to do this, which, again, this is all just so baffling. But yeah, it's the Republicans who are doing this. Is there any, I mean, do we just need to get rid of money and politics in total or what here? Because again, this is exhausting. We cannot be fighting every weekend just to beg not to have our culture destroyed. It can't go on. North Carolina, they're doing this as well. Do you think it's worse in Texas, or do you think it's just getting more attention in Texas? Because I constantly kind of have trouble determining whether it's like, dang, Texas is really being hit hard, or whether Texas is just a state that's actually standing up against it. So you see videos of people like yourself. Do you think Texas is being targeted in particular, and for what reason?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because, you know, like everyone says, once Texas falls, America falls.
Right.
Well, I've been telling people Texas has already fallen. My story single-handedly proves it. And, I would actually say Texas is the worst, because there's still a lot of people out here that think Texas is, you know, this display of freedom and courage and don't mess with Texas. And you got people, I mean, every week we're seeing videos pop up of people speaking at city councils here in Texas. Like you said, whether it's Indian takeover, data centers. I mean, we can go on and on about all the stuff that's being exposed. And, you know, like I tweeted this out yesterday. There was a city council meeting in McKinney that you showed that was over the mosque. There was a city council meeting in Frisco where a lot of people were speaking up about this field being turned into a new retail space, which I exposed the developer behind it as another Indian guy. We don't know who his investors are, right? And then Ken Paxton's hosting his election party in Allen, Texas. So in Collin County, the city councils, people are standing up. But then the Texas Attorney General is like having a party in the same county. Like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah. And I mean, again, it really does just seem to be the money. It's literally just like, well, you know, yeah. I can get money from my, campaign, and they can make more money. So GDP goes up, and sure, I'm destroying the lives of American families, but I'm building the lives of Indian families, and I see all humans as, you know, perfectly equal. It's like, you're our leadership. What are you doing? Again, this is the absurd part. You know, we do have time to go to some of these. Let's go to clip 15 here. This is in McKinney, Texas. This was yesterday, posted by Carlos Tusurios. Tensions are high at the McKinney City Council meeting as supporters of the Islamic Center and opponents of the project clash. The McKinney City Council is set to consider the approval of the Islamic Center. So let's go now to clip number 15. It's a short one. But here you can see, like, it gets physical. And you got this little old lady, which, like, this is the thing to me. You got a little old Texas lady. Why is she getting in fisticuffs with, like, a big Muslim dude? Which, again, it just seems absurd to me that it's like, so the people of McKinney don't want this. These other foreign hostile outsiders do. And so the city council has to weigh these two evenly, has to determine which gets to win. No, the people of McKinney win. Just automatically just go, oh, okay, they don't want it, then they don't have to be subjected to it. I don't mean to be repeating myself, but it is just this simple, isn't it?
Yeah. One of a quote that I feel like I came up with, I love to come up with random lines, right? I believe capitalism has been stolen from the American people, and it's now being used against us, because it ultimately is bottom line, how much money can be made by whatever you're doing. And we both have listed off multiple examples in this conversation of how money is really fueling the actions of the people that are destroying America from within.
Yep. And again, just take it to the obvious, you know, family metaphor. Obviously, I would love to make more money. I would like to have, you know, more wealth, because I would like to benefit my children, because I want my children to do well. And I want... This is the idea of like, oh, I want more wealth, so I'm going to sell my children. And it's like, it's defeating the purpose of wanting the wealth. We want our GDP to go up because we want Americans to do better. That's the score that's supposed to tell you that Americans are doing well. If you're selling Americans out to increase that score, what the hell are you doing? That's where I break with capitalism. Capitalism as a financial, you know, exchange mechanism is great. It's not my religion. It's not my belief. It's not where my loyalty lies, which... It's different for Republicans, it seems. I think you're exactly right about that. Let's go to clip, I believe it's 37 here. Hundreds of North Carolinians have stormed a town council meeting to protest a proposed 5,000-square-foot mosque in Mooresville, North Carolina, that they were not even told about. Multiple women got up to say that Islam is an evil ideology and to reject Sharia law. Let's go now to clip number 37.
Examine closely whether the building of this mosque is right for this community. I personally say no to Sharia law and this Muslim center.
How can you serve and protect us when you can't even tell us about a proposed mosque in our backyard?
It was a full house tonight at the Mooresville Commissioners meeting as the town considers a new mosque in the city that has been met with controversy. Many in attendance voiced their concerns about the new complex, with complaints ranging from traffic issues and a lack of transparency, as the potential property was not listed on tonight's agenda. The board commissioner responding to those citizens tonight, saying the property has been approved for religious use since it was annexed into the town limits back in 1998. And they went on to detail how much space the building would take up and encourage the community to continue to share their concerns about any proposed project.
So again, whether it's Texas, North Carolina, all over the country, American citizens, little old ladies are having to get up and go, I would not like a gigantic hostile colony in my backyard, please, only to be told, well, technically in 1998, they signed some random agreement, so hands are tied. Totally absurd. Thank you so much for being with us. Mark Palaciano, you're doing such a great job. I want to give you the final word and just a message to people of how they can support you, of course, but also what they need to know and you know how they can get involved as well. Because not only do I want you to do well and succeed and be able to make this your full-time profession, exposing this stuff, extremely valuable service you perform, I want you to inspire other people as well. So how can people support you? How can people follow you? And what is your message of encouragement to those of us who are looking desperately for some silver lining on the clouds?
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. This it means a lot to me. And, you know, that's one of the things that I've been most proud of, is I've actually inspired other people to speak up. That's what I finally learned, is like the only way that we're going to influence change is by all of us go speak up at these opportunities where we can, you know, and we have to kind of create, if everybody was doing what I was doing, we would have already started a revolution.
Yeah.
Now, I also know it's hard for people to do this because cancel culture, they're afraid of losing their careers, right? So I know that I speak up for a lot of people and I say stuff that others can't. You know, support me. Like I told you, I'm self-funded. So please subscribe to me on X or subscribe to me on Instagram, right? I want to stay completely self-funded and not sell out to some, you know, company that's going to dictate the things that I can say or can't say. And so, yeah, it really, you know, if you go check out all the stuff that I've exposed and share, if, you know, even if you can't subscribe to me, just share my stuff, share my story, share my accounts, because I guarantee whether you go to my YouTube and watch one of the 19 times that I've spoke at Frisco City Council, or you go to my Substack and read about T-Mobile, you're going to see some crazy stuff that is truth you can't find anywhere else, that exposes kind of how America is being destroyed from within.
100%. No, absolutely. We need you as a success story. Follow Mark Palaciano on X at @Mark_Palaciano. That's MarkPalaciano. Cannot thank you enough for doing everything that you do. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again very soon, sir. Thank you for being with us, folks. Stay tuned. Rex Jones takes over with Brandon Weikert on the other side. High level warfare analysis. Stay tuned and go to the Alex Jones store to support us.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee. And then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You can call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.